Turn to Acts chapter 12, and this is the third and last part of our study on being locked up, put in prison. In part two, we got everybody out of prison, so everybody's free. So what are we going to study? We're going to study the results. What happened because of this? And there's results in both cases. And if you recall, in one case, the angel came and got Peter and basically said, come on, kicked him in the side, told him put on his clothes, his shoes, and put his coat on, follow me. And he went. Another, the Lord shook the earth, opened the doors, and they stayed. There was a reason for that. And we know it was because one of the Lords was there. Well, probably more than one. That's my position on it anyway. Anyway, we're going to start with the part where Peter has been released from prison, not by Herod. Herod had other plans for him, didn't he? Anyway, Acts chapter 12, beginning with verse 11, and when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. Now this is where we left off last time. And he said, now I know. He thought, I think probably up until this very time, that he was seeing a vision. Because it mentions up here let's see, where is it? Okay. Verse 9. And he went out and followed him, followed the angel, and wist not that it was true. He didn't know, you know, what was which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. So I think up until this very time, he thought he was seeing a vision, you know, that maybe this is the way the Lord was going to work things out. Well, yeah, he was, but yet he was doing it right then. And he had delivered him from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. The Jews were looking forward to it. After the Passover, we're going to kill Peter. Anyway, verse 12. And we had considered the thing, had to think about it. What do I do now? I was in prison. What do I do now? He came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Now, I said, I think in part one, that I thought the church was assembled together. But they were in their houses, so they couldn't all be assembled together because there was just too many people to meet in one house. And it talks about him going to another, sending word to another house where James was at. Anyway, went to Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. They were praying. And we'll have a few things to say about that. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm glad to see somebody, you know, come to my house, generally I try to open the door for them, you know, but I think she was just ecstatic. Now, I didn't pronunciate that rightly, but, you know, she was so happy. She had to share this, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. Peter is here. He's outside. I didn't let him in, but, you know, he's here. So what did they say? And they said unto her, thou art mad. Why? Why would they say that? Hard to believe, isn't it? What were they just praying about? Let Peter die a quick death and not suffer much. That's not what you pray for. Well, first of all, you pray that the Lord's will be done, and then you say, you know, if it's your will, Lord, get him out of there. And guess what he did? He got him out of there. But they said, thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. So here they are in there arguing whether Peter was there or not, while he's standing outside. And I don't know whether he's thinking he's having another vision or not. This is like Keystone Cops. And if you don't know what the Keystone Cops are, ask your grandparents. Don't ask your mom and dad. They don't know either. But ask at least your grandparents, maybe somebody older than that. But she constantly affirmed, yeah, he's out there. Then said they, it is his angel. Now, a lot of people that are in error have used this verse to affirm that when people die, they become an angel. This is baloney. You know, don't pay attention to that. Angel here is talking about a messenger. The Lord has sent a messenger to tell us that Peter's dead. Well, at least they can stop praying now, huh? Verse 16. But Peter continued knocking. They did more damage to him than Herod did. I bet his knuckles were red and bleeding by then. Open up! I'm out here. Let me in. And so finally, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Now let's think about that for a minute. Again, you know, they, back in verse 12, when they considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. They were praying for him. If you go back over here in verse 5, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. What were they praying for? Peter to be released. I believe that's what they were praying for. What were they expecting? Peter to die. Now us and them, we say God is sovereign. God does as he pleases. God is all powerful. He can do and does whatever he wants. There is nothing too hard for God. They prayed that Peter would be released. Here he was. He'd been outside, I don't know how long, knocking on the door. They finally let him in. And instead of saying, praise the Lord, our prayers are answered. Nope. They were astonished. How about us? How many times do we pray for something? And this has happened to me a lot. And it works out. Maybe not in exactly the way I had anticipated or something like that, but it works out for my benefit. And instead of saying praise the Lord, I'm astonished. God's in control. And he's not just in control of some things. He's in control of everything. His love for us is unbelievable. But we believe it. How do you believe that? Because he sent his son to die for us. Can you imagine? There's not a person here, and I know people here love me. Except maybe Renee, but no, none of you would send one of your children to die for me. And I wouldn't send one of mine to die for you. And I love you and all a lot. God, who had a perfect relationship with his son, sent him to die. And not only that, he had to pay our debt, our sin debt, not just in death. Anyway, I don't want to chase too many rabbits here. I'm not going to be as tight as I thought, but we're going to make it. Anyway, they were astonished. God's in control of everything. Verse 17. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, he's making them shut up, basically. They would say, I knew it all the time. We were expecting you a little earlier. That's the reason it took so long to get to the door. I don't know if they said that or not, but it wouldn't surprise me. That sounds like something I might say. But be quiet. I won't tell you what happened. He shut up then. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. This is what happened. Now, we don't have, at least I hope we don't have a story about how we were let out of prison. But, there are other things. I can tell you about the time the Lord delivered a message that touched me in my heart and made me realize I'm lost. I'm lost. I got no hope. You can't save a man or a woman that's not lost. You got to get them lost first. And you might think, you don't have that power. Don't have to have any power. If they're lost, they're already lost. You don't have to get them there. You just have to make them understand that they are already lost. And we can tell them about that time when the Lord revealed himself to us. Anyway, he declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. He said, go, show these things unto James and to the brethren. So this is where I finally figured out, that maybe the church wasn't totally assembled. I believe they were assembled, not totally in one place, but, at different houses. But he said, go tell James and to the brethren. So James, it appears here, maybe not necessarily so, but he was with some of the other brethren, And he departed and went into another place. So he didn't stay there. I don't know whether he thought, you made me wait outside too long. I'm going to go someplace where I'm welcome. But anyway, verse 18. Now, as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers what was become of Peter. Hey, you seen Peter? He was right here attached to this chain, but he's not here anymore. Maybe somebody come and got him. And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers. This is, remember the four quaternions of soldiers? And commanded that they should be put to death. So, wasn't such a good job for them that night, was it? They did what they were supposed to do. Of course, they took a little nap. Apparently, all of them took a nap. Sometimes, being around the Lord's people put some people to sleep. So, you know, we'll let it go at that. Anyway, and he commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea in their abode. So Herod says, kill them all. I'm getting out of here. You're giving me a headache. So he skedaddled. We're going to get to the results of this in a minute. Turn to chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Now, Paul and Silas had already been let out of prison. But we're going to put them back in for a moment here. Verse 30. The jailer, verse 30, brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. So, totally different story, isn't it? Why? Because the jailer here was one of God's chosen. He was one of the Lord's sheep. So what happened? Verse 33, and he took him the same hour. The jailer took Paul and Silas the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. So every one of them in the house was saved that night, and they were baptized. I want you to notice something. There was no vote about the baptism of these people back then. Now, I believe churches have liberty. They can do things, certain things, anyway, the way they please. But in this instance, there was no voting. The jailer was, and his whole family was baptized that very night. And I don't know what time it was by then, but you remember at midnight was when Paul and Silas started singing and praying. So it was way late. Not only that, verse 34 again, when he brought them into his house, he set meat before them. He fixed them a meal and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. You talk about a happy camper now. He went from wanting to kill himself. Now think about it for a minute. You think, well, that's unusual. No. Every one of us, when we were lost, we were killing ourselves spiritually a little bit more every day. Paul said, don't do yourself any harm. We're all here. But what happens then? Verse 35, and when it was day, the magistrates sent the sergeants. Now these were more like the sergeant at arms or something like that. I don't think these were military people from what I could understand. Saying, let those men go. Now there was a purpose for locking them up. They had cast a spell. No. They had removed these men's ability to make money. By helping this damsel with the spirit that she had. Anyway, they were there, put in prison to shame them. Verse 36, and the keeper of the prison told this saying to Paul, Magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace. He was happy. He thought this was what they wanted. But no. There was more to it. What happens because of what was done? So far we've seen something pretty good. But Paul said unto them, unto the sergeants, they have beaten us openly, uncondemned. You just brought us in against the law, you know, no charges or anything like that, uncondemned. You've beaten us, being Romans, which is even worse for them, and have cast us into prison. And now do you thrust us out privily? You did this openly to shame us. Now you're going to say, oh, you can go now. Says, nay, verily, but let them come themselves and fetch us out. We want an escort. The magistrates, the ones that sent us here, make them come here and get us and lead us out. Remember, God sent the angel to Peter, and he led him out. He said, follow me. Here's Paul and Silas. He said, now you come and get us. Verse 38, and the sergeants told these words unto the magistrates, and they feared when they heard that they were Romans. You know what they should have been more afraid of? That they were God's children. Being a Roman, I mean, what? They maybe kill you. Well, you know, I don't know what the Lord would do to somebody that tortured one of his children. We've seen many instances. Well, you know, God used Herod to kill 16 soldiers. Heard that just a few minutes ago. But they heard that they were Romans, and all of a sudden they're scared. Should have been scared to say, well, they're a child of God. Didn't bother them. And when they came, and besought them, please come out of the prison, will you? I'll hold your hand. And brought them out. I think they escorted them, you can hear the music playing, pomp and circumstance and everything, and they brought them out. It wasn't any shame on them. There was shame on the magistrates for what they had done. And they brought them out and desired them to depart out of the city. He made us a laughing stock. Please leave. Verse 40, and they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. They left the city, but they left it when they was ready. How many times do we let people tell us when we can talk about the Lord? Now, a lot of these newfangled electronical things like YouTube and Netflix, not Netflix, what's some of them at Facebook. That's another one of them things. And other ones, Twitter. You get on there. I don't know what all they'll condemn you for. They'll put you in prison, so to speak. You know, you get on Facebook prison. You can't say anything for however long. In this instance, they said, well, you know, we're going to go when we're ready. And they saw the brethren, they comforted them after everything was peachy keen and hunky-dory, and they departed. So, what all happened? Well, they got locked up. They had an earthquake. The doors were open. They stayed in the cells. And the jailer was saved. And his whole family was saved. And I believe the other prisoners were saved. If you remember, it says when Paul and Silas started singing and praying at midnight, the prisoners heard them. And I don't believe this means they heard them with their ears. They heard them with their heart. And when the jailer was going to kill himself, Paul said, don't hurt yourself. We're all still here. We're all, not mean just two. You mean everybody. And all the doors were opened. According to Scripture, all the doors were opened. Then the last part of that, the magistrates, the ones that had started all this mess, they were ridiculed as they had tried to cause Paul and Silas. Back in chapter 12, we don't have to turn there, we're just going to sum up things. No, we are going to go back to chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. And starting with verse 20 through 25. And Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon. But they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus, the king's chamberlain, their friend, desired peace, because their country was nourished by the king's country. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne, and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a god, and not of a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory. And he was eaten of worms, and gave up the ghost. But the word of God grew and multiplied. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem, when they had fulfilled their ministry, and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. So what conclusion can we draw? The main conclusion of this is two things, actually. Everybody that held Peter in jail died. They were sentenced to death. In Acts chapter 16, everyone that held Paul and Silas in prison was saved and was given life. Two completely different stories. And people will deny God's sovereignty. And I don't know exactly how to explain it. If they can read both those two stories and still not understand that God is in control, I don't know what would change their minds. Obviously, the Holy Spirit has to lead. Anyway, that's our study on being locked up. Anyway, y'all stick around about 5 minutes. The pastor's going to have a great message.